Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into the Beer Garden, presented by the Oxford Crystal. I'm Neil McCready. Today on the show, it's our annual Thanksgiving show. We're going to talk food with Greg Jones. We're going to talk libations with Jonathan Howard. We'll get to that momentarily. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. It's Highway 6 West in Oxford. It's the place to go here on this Thanksgiving week, day after Thanksgiving, when you're hustle and bustle doing your shopping. Crystal's a great place to go. Grab that maple bourbon shake. It's delicious. It's legal. No fake ID required. It's fantastic. You'll love it. It's a perfect, I guess, just a treat on your holiday week, whether you're getting ready for Thanksgiving or whether you're doing some of that Christmas shopping. Grab the three-egg plate combo. Features Gold Peak Coffee. They also have the $2 square meal if you need a quick snack, $3 square meal, $4 square meal, or if you're super hungry, maybe you're spending your Black Friday in front of the TV, spending your Saturday in front of the TV watching Rivalry Week. 12 crystal combo, 12 crystals, two medium fries, two medium drinks, all of that at the Oxford Crystal right next door to the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggle, just a great deal. Corey wants to take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. And it's a great, I've done it. I'm driving a Clark Ford, and I love it. Love the service. Love everything about Clark Ford. You will too. 662-257-1900. Tell Corey and the people there at Clark Ford that you heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden. You'll save $500 off your already great bottom line. 662-257-1900. We'll start off by visiting with Greg Jones, LB's Meat Market. Get you some Thanksgiving cooking tips, some meal ideas. Whether you're a traditionalist or if you want to get think outside of the box a little bit, Greg has you taken care of. So here's Greg Jones of LB's Meat Market. All right, Greg, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and to yours. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing great. Happy Thanksgiving to you also, Neil.
I know you and I were talking, I guess it was on Friday morning. You are... not a Thanksgiving traditionalist. You were telling me about a fairly interesting turkey preparation. So for those who maybe are also looking for something a little different with their bird and want to do something radical, because I think it's safe to say what you do is somewhat radical. Take me through it.
Yeah, it's well, I kind of ran into this last Thanksgiving over at my friend John Calvin and Wes over there in Tacoma. Who's a new advertising partner with y'all. So, yeah, good people. And just, you know, I'm not a big traditional Thanksgiving guy. Just, you know, Thanksgiving's great and everything, but, you know, it's just the same thing over and over. So went over there, and they, I mean, it's literally called the trash can turkey, and it's crazy. It's just, it's one of the best turkeys I've literally had, and I'm not a big turkey fan. So with that being said, it's real basic. It was just, you get a metal steak and you get some tinfoil. You cover the metal steak with tinfoil and you make a bed of tinfoil and to where the bird sits down on the steak. And you just need to make sure the turkey is 1 inch above the ground. So, after you got your, you know, your tinfoil set up and everything like that, you take about a 15-pound bag of charcoal, because they say, like, you're supposed to use a pound of charcoal for each pound of turkey. So your basic turkeys are going to be, you know, 14 to 15 pounds. So you just set the turkey on top of the steak, and then you literally put the garbage can perfectly over the bird to where – you see tinfoil out on the sides of the can. So it's you want to make a pretty big bed of tinfoil so you can put the coals around the garbage can. So So yeah, just get you a good bed of tinfoil, set the can down, and then just still put charcoal around the garbage can to make sure. But you want to make sure the garbage can is, you know, on the ground, you know, and put the coals on top of the can to where it's kind of sealed. And just basically put a big circle of charcoals around it, and then you know, let it set, let your lighter fluid sit on it, and then just, you know, let it fire. And it literally takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. You know, most of your traditional smoked turkeys, you know, you're cooking a smoked turkey at like 225 for 10 hours, you know, until you get that internal temperature degrees of 180. So with this, you know, that it just, I guess there's so much heat that generates in that can that it just literally, it just smokes the turkey awesome. And it's just literally let it go for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then it should, and as the coals are going out, you know, as they're going, you can, that's when it's going to be ready. So you literally just grab some pliers or you know, whatever, you know, you can grab a hold of that can and just easily just lift the can up over the turkey. And I'm telling you, it's the damnedest turkey you'll ever have.
It sounds like fun too. I mean, it's one of those deals where if it didn't work out, you at least had a good time doing it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, you know, we just had a group of guys and about a case of beer and just literally just stood around the can and just talked. And then, you know, and that's what I enjoy doing as far as cooking, you know, sharing with, you know, fellowship and everything. So, you know, that's what kind of Thanksgiving is like, you know. With my family, it was just, you know, I had four older sisters and, you know, they're just running around crazy. So, you know, I'm more of a, you know, I'll sit there and look at the garbage can for 2 hours and wait for the turkey to get ready. That's what I'm more like.
So let's talk about turkey, because there's people who, you know, it's Thanksgiving, they don't eat a lot of turkey all year long, and then on Thanksgiving, like, I need to do it. What are some options for people if they don't want to go out and get the big bird at Kroger necessarily or whatever and thaw it out? If you want to get a smaller bird or you want to maybe do something different with, like, you know, Cornish game hen or something like that. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I actually I'm doing a little special that I'm up here. I found a product. It's a boneless turkey. And it's shaped almost like a bread loaf. I mean, it's basically a product perfect for deep frying turkeys because it sits perfect in like the basket. So what I did was I butterflied it open and I stuffed it with crab and cornbread and ribeye sausage. Well, I did one with crab and cornbread, and I did one with with just our cornbread dressing and ribeye sausage, and just took some skewers and skewered it up and wrapped it in bacon, and, you know, all you got to do is just low and slow that until that bacon's ready, and just slice, and you've got a, you know, boneless stuffed turkey breast. So just other things like that is a Cornish game hen, you know. Cornish game hen's awesome. You know, that's it's a small bird, and it's about, I could probably eat two of them, you know, but it's a lot of work, but it's really good. It's a small game bird. You can do like a whole smoked duck, you know, stuff it with some apples and stuff like that. And you need to do something different. You can do something like a turducken, which is basically a boneless turkey, a boneless duck, and a boneless chicken. And it's stuffed with, you know, dressing, and you tie it. And it's just, there's so many traditional Thanksgiving things. But again, there's, you know, sometimes that you want to be something different and do something like a Cornish game hen or something like that. But the traditional turkey dinner, you know, is great, you know, but it's good for only one time a year.
I'm with you, because that's, I always say that, because if turkey were so, and I like a turkey sandwich. I'm not knocking those turkey aficionados.
See,
out there.
I like the dark meat. I like thighs and wings and stuff like that. So it's just hard for me just to be like, oh man, whenever they perfectly smoked turkey, and you know, you see the, like, the first slice, and then like the meat slices perfectly off. I mean, like, that's just good camera work.
All right, one of the things I love about LB's is you guys do a lot of combination stuff, like the beef wrapped around asparagus, which is in shrimp and stuff like that. So for the guy who says nope, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna go get the free range organic turkey. We're gonna get a big turkey. I'm gonna make this the best turkey dinner ever. What are some things you could pair besides the obvious? I'm not talking about the stuffing and the dressing, I should say, and the sweet potatoes and all that. What are some things you could pair with a turkey that would maybe step it up a notch?
Duck poppers would be great. But duck poppers are great any day. Just something, jalapeno poppers would be good. It's just, you know, that the traditional Thanksgiving is just everything set in stone. You know, it's like we have to have sweet potato casserole. We have to have cornbread dressing. We have to have green bean casserole. We have to have who's doing the corn. Okay, who's doing the roll? You know, it's just like, it's traditional, you know, Thanksgiving. It's just hard to get away from anything outside the box, you know, other than cranberry sauce and dressing and that sort of thing. So, I mean, you know, I would do something like, you know, that Cornish game hen would be nice, just because maybe somebody like me, I don't like turkey. I mean, it's not like I don't like turkey. I just, you know, I'd prefer to eat something else if there's another option. I had a couple people ask for beef tenderloins, and I had a couple people, you know, want, you know, a standing rib roast. But, you know, that's more of a Christmas thing because, you know, it's like a final end of the year thing. I think Christmas dinner, you know, is one of the best dinners, you know, of the year, or, you know, just because you don't have to, you're not set in stone on turkey. You know, it's like, okay, we did Thanksgiving, so we got that, so we can do like a standing rib roast, or, you know, like I said, that beef tenderloin. But I think duck poppers would be a good addition to a Thanksgiving dinner.
All right, I want to talk about some of the things that you have there and some of the combinations that you've come up with, maybe how you've come up with it, because I think one of the underrated days, for me at least, is the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, because you tell some of you don't eat Thanksgiving, right? You don't eat Thanksgiving until, you know, late in the day, and this year there's a football game and stuff, but, you know, you don't eat Thanksgiving dinner until maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Some people don't eat Thanksgiving dinner until 4, 5, 6 o'clock. They don't want to eat a bunch during the day because they're intending to, gorge themselves on Thursday evening. So Wednesday night's kind of a fun meal for me, at least. It's like one of my favorite ones because you kind of get creative a little bit. You come up with something good because you're not going to wake up on Thursday morning and have a big breakfast. You're probably not going to have a big lunch, etc. You guys have some cool stuff. When I was in there on Friday, you've got some stuff with, it appeared to be that you'd taken some beef tenderloin and really gotten creative. Walk me through some of that.
Yeah, you know, as far as, you know, the meat market and how we have progressed through the 10 years that we've been open is just, you know, learning from other things, you know, like, I'll get on Instagram and I'll just, you know, look at videos of just, you know, things, and it just, you know, comes up to me and like, hey, I think this would be great addition for LB's, because, you know, you don't get this in Oxford, Mississippi. Like, whenever you walk into LB's, you can get something that there isn't going to be for about a square for 100 miles, you know, maybe, you know, 200 miles. So it's just what I do is I take a whole beef tenderloin head. I just basically kind of like butterfly and, you know, make it as flat as possible. I do trim out some meat to where it'll cook thin all the way through. I've actually got two different cuts. I've got that beef tenderloin head that it just, everybody wants, I don't know why it's set in stone that, you know, a filet mignon is, you have to have the center cut. You know, the head cut is not good. The head cut is a really good, solid piece of meat, and you can do a lot of good things. I've tied them whole to where they're basically about a 14-ounce steak, and you can just sear it all the way around and then just slice. So, but what I did was I just did it paper thin, and then I put asparagus, and I boiled some shrimp and did some cream cheese and just wrapped it and tied it and put steak sauce on it. I mean, our steak seasoning, and then Hoover sauce. And it's just, it's something that you can feed two people that – I was trying to go for the meat sushi thing. That's what I was trying to get going, but the meat sushi thing, because, like, you know, it's just something unique that you can walk in and be like, wow, that looks cool. You know, how do I cook that? You know, it's just real low and slow. It depends on how you'd much rather undercook your beef than overcook your beef. So, and I also do the sirloin. So it's the culotte piece, which is the top butt of the sirloin. It's a really, really lean piece. And I just literally get on my knife and I just keep on trying to just do long, thin strips of, sirloin. And I've gotten to be pretty decent with the knife. And, so yeah, it's just unique things. And, you know, whenever I post something on Instagram, you know, and everybody's like, how much is that? You know, whenever I say it's $29.95 a pound or $34.95 a pound, you know, like it's a good buy, you know, because you're getting a pound of beef tenderloin, about 5 shrimps, 6 asparagus, cream cheese, and season, you know, for under $40. Like our 10-ounce filet is $20. So that just gives you an idea of, you know, price points and stuff. So, but yeah, we did the asparagus wrap also with the jalapeno wrap, a jalapeno shrimp and cream cheese. And then we did asparagus. So it's just, you know, just trying to, we're going to do, today I'm going to do a couple chicken breasts. I'm going to, butterfly a couple chicken breasts, and I'm going to, put some ham and some cheese and some pineapple and, try to make kind of like a Hawaiian, chicken breast, to where it's just wrapped in bacon and put a toothpick on it, and literally all you got to do is just kind of indirect heat it, smoke it out, and then just, you know, slice and eat it, and you got a stuffed chicken breast. So just trying to stay creative and trying to keep, you know, keep it fresh as possible, because, you know, some people do get bored with just the standard 8-ounce filet, 6-ounce filet. You know, you just got to the whole point of opening up LB's is to wow people. You know, like, you want to come in, and you walk in LB's and you're like, wow, that prime New York strip looks amazing, you know, because we trim out all the trimming, you know, the fat, so it's a center cut, you know, prime strip. So, but just, you know, that's why we're open, just to, you know, to make sure people get the best product available out there, you know, and that's why we're open.
All right, last couple of things as we wrap up here with Greg Jones of LB's Meat Market. First, we'll talk about the business part of it. People that want to get in touch with you, whether it's to get a turkey or whether it's to get some Cornish game hen alternatives, going, it's a holiday week. What's the best way to get in touch with you? You know, Wednesday.
Yeah. The best way is to call 662-259-2999. That's the store's number. I'm here every single day. I work Monday to Monday. I answer the phone. Just, you know, if you can give me a heads up, I'll take care of anything. So it's, and we do have, Instagram, and I've had some people, message me on Instagram, and, you know, it's just, if you don't get on social media and you don't put your product out there on social media, you know, people won't know about it, because we're heavy on Twitter, and we're heavy on Instagram and that sort of thing, and Facebook. And, you know, I try my best, you know, to get back with people on Facebook, but, you know, it's just, it's hard juggling everything. But yeah, we're going to be closed Thursday and Friday. I just need a vacation and a refresh, you know, and I kind of figured that everybody in the world's going to be eating traditional Thanksgiving on Thursday and probably going to be eating a bunch of leftovers on Friday. So just a good time for me to get out. And plus, you know, when Mississippi State knows that they might have a W locked up already in Oxford, you know, that's a good time for to get out of town. That's for sure.
All right. Last thing, very important. It's going to be a rivalry weekend in my house. As you know, Carson is a Chelsea fan. As you well know, I am a lifelong
membership holding.
I have been a stock option. Yeah, I have been a Tottenham Hotspur fan since, oh gosh, as long as I can remember.
The first time you stood up and kicked a soccer ball, that's how long
you're damn right. You're damn right I was. The two teams,
I mean, Harry Kane, I knew Harry Kane before he was Harry Kane.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about Harry Kane before Harry Kane was born. So here's my question. Yeah. They play each other on Saturday. Young Carson's already talking trash. Is there any chance that my boys from Tottenham can pull this off?
Well, if they can ever get the stadium done, that would be probably a good start to getting things going in the right. I mean, you know, Hazard's playing unbelievable right now for Chelsea, and obviously he's playing for the contract to get out of there. And so whenever you have a top-class player like that, you know, scoring goals, you know, it's Chelsea's new managers come in and helped out a lot, you know, like, it's hard to transition from a managers to scheme. So I'm betting the draw just because those big games like that, there's never a clear cut winner, I like Spurs. I like Harry Kane. I'm trying to get better on watching other soccer teams because I mean my whole city's just we're in the dumpsters. It's bad. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching that game. I think a 1-1 draw is going to be your bet on that game. So, but you never know. Harry Kane likes to find that net after the 90th minute. So, never know. You might get that late goal for the winner. So, I'd hate for Carson's heart to get broken. Is it at Chelsea?
You know, I've been so intently following it that I don't know where the game is.
Yeah, see, that's what happens. You get so into it that you just don't even care where the game
is. I will play them anywhere. We will play them anywhere.
That's right. I would take the draw. I like the draw.
Okay, well, that's what I'll go with. Let's go Spurs, and happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks for the time. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, Neil. Y'all enjoy. Be safe out there, and when everybody's traveling around, the roads are crazy during Thanksgiving holidays, so just everybody stay safe and enjoy y'all's Thanksgiving. And you too, Neil. Have a great day.
You too, Greg. Thanks. Our thanks to Greg for his time today on the podcast. We'll talk drinks next with Jonathan Howard, but first let me tell you this podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage. It's located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and the processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Community Mortgage is also the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. Can get in touch with Jason at jlowe, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency, works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, the editing, it's all done solely by their staff and crafted uniquely for their clients. And lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so get in touch with them and see just how great they are. Email Austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Again, Austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. All right, we talked food with Greg Jones. Now let's talk drinks, specifically alcoholic drinks, with my good friend and bartender extraordinaire, Jonathan Howard. Here's Jonathan. All right, Jonathan. Before we get started, I'll tell you this. I asked you. I was in Cork Dorks in mm-hmm. Nashville, and yep. They have an incredible selection. And frankly, it was a little overwhelming. And so I sent you a text, and I was asking about one product, and you said no. And you recommended the Evan Williams Single Barrel.
Yep.
And got it. Price point on that was fantastic. And it was really good. I had it last night. Excellent. That's like $30, maybe a little less than that. And it was it was great.
Yeah, it's one of the whiskeys I think I've mentioned on several podcasts about good whiskeys, and people just always look at, they want to shake their head. It's like, but for $30, that's a really good bottle of whiskey. And it's made at Heaven Hill, which is one of the more historic, one of the longest tenured working distilleries under the same company in Kentucky. So, I really, really love that. They also have a product, a 1783, I think is the name of it. Also for the price, incredible product.
Okay, I'll have to check that out because I see it all the time. Yeah, and it's and, yeah. and you're right. It's there is a tendency, and you do this with wine too. People do it with wine mm-hmm. as well. You get almost scared off by what could end up being a bargain because you see a price and you go, "Oh, it's so cheap that there's no way it's good."
I mean, but and vice versa. If you look at the other way, there's so many really expensive whiskeys that if I tasted you on them blind, you wouldn't believe that you'd pay that much money for that whiskey.
Yeah, there's one I won't name it. I don't like throwing people under the bus, but there's one that's out there that's it's about $75 and mm-hmm. it's just not good. Now it might be good to some it might be good to some people, but for me, it's just not good. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't get when I drink it. I don't get any pleasure from it. So
right,
you know,
I'd love to do like a study, like a psychological study of what happens because there's all these things about you know. There's certain things fire off in the brain when you see your favorite drink, which automatically is going to make it more enjoyable for you. What would happen, like the difference in you tasting that same product, seeing it come out of a bottle, and then seeing it already poured in a glass, and see if that changes the way you feel about it. It just would be interesting to me. If the stimulus of actually seeing the bottle, knowing it's expensive, is going to make it automatically good because you know it's rare and expensive.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that that has an impact on the way that you view it. I don't think there's any doubt that if you took the exact same bottle of any spirit, mm-hmm. and we'll use whiskey as an example, and you put a $90 price tag on it, and then you take the exact same bottle to someone who has no idea what the price of that product should be, and you put $27 on it. I don't think there's any doubt that they will, 100 people out of 100 will pick the $90 as, oh, that's better.
Yeah, always. Suggestive selling.
Yeah, it's powerful. The brain is, I mean, you know, you taste something first with your brain. I mean, with your eyes, you look at it and you process it and you have an expectation.
Yeah, every time. Every time.
Okay, so let's talk some Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week, which means that families are together. Which mm-hmm. means that you probably need to drink. It's Thanksgiving week in Oxford, which means it's the Egg Bowl, which means you probably need to drink. So Thanksgiving, we'll do the Thanksgiving dinner thing. We'll start with the traditional meal, which most people have. It's the whole turkey and dressing and
right.
and cranberry sauce and sweet potatoes and all mm-hmm. of that. Give me a before Thanksgiving dinner cocktail that you recommend?
I would do something like just if you've already got red wine, right? You've already got red wine.
Yeah, for sure.
Add two ounces of Campari to your glass and then just put red wine in it.
Ooh.
It's just going to be a little bit bitter, a little bit bracing, but you're going to find that it dries out the wine a little bit. You're going to still get all those really cool wine notes that you have, but it's also going to make the taste receptors in the mouth start to fire off, and your mouth's going to start to water because that's what bitter ingredients do to it, specifically something like Campari. And Campari is meant to open up the stomach and prepare you for food. You'll also be amazed at how much more you can eat after having something like Campari before a meal.
That's fascinating. So, with any red wine, does it have to be a Cabernet? Can it be a red wine blend?
I'd probably do a blend, a bigger blend, more low cap blend, or a Cabernet or something like that, because the Campari is going to dry it out, obviously, if you don't want it to be too dry. But just like about 2 ounces of Campari, and then about 3.5-4 ounces of red wine, and just enjoy it.
That's fascinating. I'll try that because I love Campari. Yeah. You turned me on to Campari, and it's kind of one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's one of the most versatile and beautiful things we have in spirits, but because people just think about what it is, oh, it's so bitter. I was like, it is bitter, but if you start using soda with it, it dilutes the bitterness and becomes dry, and then you start to find like orange flavors in it and stuff like that, and then Negroni and the Boulevardier are two of the most iconic drinks in the world, and they just kind of help that along. I love Campari. I can't do the Campari on the rocks thing. I'm still not there, but I do love Campari as well.
You mentioned the Boulevardier, which is one of my favorite drinks.
I'll
be honest. I'm always a little, and you can make fun of me. It's cool. Everybody makes fun of me. I'm good with this. I'm a little intimidated by which vermouth to get and how I treat my vermouth. Like I know everyone says refrigerated. So refrigerate your vermouth. What vermouth is the best vermouth for a Boulevardier?
It depends on your whiskey. So it seems like you like rounder, softer, slightly sweeter whiskeys. So I would do a dry vermouth like Martini and Rossi or Dolan. Those are going to be drier, more floral, a little more pepper to them. But if you like the big spicy rye, like Rittenhouse or Michter's Rye or something like that, Carpano Antica, because it's rounder and richer, and they're going to play off each other a little bit better. And then the Campari just kind of acts as a bridge between those two ingredients for the most part.
Okay. And then I need to refrigerate the vermouth as soon as I buy it or after I open it?
After it's open. Treat it like you treat wine. It's just a fortified wine. So basically, treat it like you would treat a wine, and it's got a 30-day shelf life instead of a 36-hour shelf life. That's really the only thing to know about vermouth.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about wine, because obviously that's the traditional drink with the Thanksgiving meal. I know that the turkey typically goes with a white wine type thing. So for those that – we'll start there. What's on your Thanksgiving table? Let's start there. What's on your Thanksgiving table with your meal? If you're having the traditional Thanksgiving meal, what's the wine that you're drinking with it?
If I'm doing a white, I'm doing a Sauvignon Blanc, because you have to think of the really big, robust flavors on that. You've got this rich turkey and cranberry and sweet potato and stuffing and all of these round, rich flavors. So you're going to want something like a Sauvignon Blanc that's going to be crisp and just kind of cleanse the palate off. Right? Because I've never been one to want to put what I call flabby on flabby. You've got this big, rich meal. Why do I need a rich wine? It's just going to be overkill.
Right.
I want something crisp to kind of clean the palate. And then for a red, something like a Rioja or a Spanish red or an Italian red, some French burgundies, which are going to be a little funkier and earthier and dry. Same idea, something a little drier. Most of those dried wines, you're not getting, say, the Cab, you're getting rich plum and raspberry and these round, beautiful red fruits. Well, with Burgundy, with Rioja, with Italian wines, and those, right, you're getting dried fruits. So dates, figs, raisins, and those flavors are going to play much better into what you've got on your table than rich, round plum.
Okay. Any brands come to mind that you recommend the most?
Man, not really.
Okay.
It's just like right off the top of my head.
No, it's okay.
I've lived for so long in the specialist wine world, I'm not even sure what's at liquor stores anymore. You know what I mean? What's available to people, to be honest. I mean, it sounds, for a Sauvignon Blanc, Kim Crawford, I don't care. It's in every grocery store, but it's delicious. It's really good. I don't mind a Kim Crawford, I'll drink that all day. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful white wine. It's very affordable, and it's very food friendly for a white. And if I can find a red in my head somewhere that would be easier for people to kind of gravitate to and get, I'm blanking on that.
No,
one.
It's okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm blanking on that one.
It's okay. After dinner, everybody gets stuffed and they go watch TV for a little while, and maybe they cry at the television on Thursday night somewhat. They break out the pie and stuff. What do you recommend? What do you recommend with dessert? And then what's kind of after it's all said and done and you're just hanging around watching football, talking to family, where do you go there?
What I'm doing, I did last Christmas, I'm going to do this Thanksgiving, is instead of mulling wine, I mull rye whiskey in a crock pot with mulling spices and sugar, a little bit of honey, some sugar, lemon and orange peels. And just, you can find a mulled wine recipe online, but just sub out the wine for rye whiskey. And you put it in a crock pot, so you've got this slightly sweet, citrusy, almost like rock candy, old-fashioned style thing, but it's hot. And we usually have that with our pecan pie and our sweet potato pie at my grandmother's. And the cool thing about it is, whatever you don't drink, you just strain out the solids, you keep it in your fridge, just pour it over ice with two dashes of bitters, and you've got an old-fashioned that'll just blow you away.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing a Christmas pop-up here in Nashville. My company is have been helping develop the drinks, and we're doing that a mulled rye old fashioned. We're going to mull a bunch of rye and strain it out and just use that over ice as an old fashioned for the holidays for the entire month of December. It's something I've done. I really, really love it. It's fun. It's great for the Grove because it's probably going to be pretty damn chilly. So get yourself a crock pot. All you need is some whiskey, some mulling spices. Look online for a recipe. It's very easy to get. I'll even try to find one and post it on the board today.
Okay.
If I find an hour in my day, I'll knock that out. And then you just need a crock pot and a ladle. And then there you go. You're going to have some hot, delicious, just basically straight ass whiskey.
So you put it in a crock pot on low or high?
Low. Yeah, you want to cook it low.
Okay, for how long?
Traditionally, till it's hot. And then once it's hot, you need to let it go for about, I would say, an hour or so for everything to infuse in. Slow and low, because you got to remember the mulled wine was made over fire. So it wasn't extremely, extremely hot. It was a gentle heat on the bottom of a pot. So you want to slow and low. Put everything in, I would say, about after an hour, taste it, see where it is. And then another 30 minutes, and then keep it at holding temp after that, and you can just serve it all night.
And then what's that, if for those that are maybe they're up late and they're watching the Egg Bowl and it's all over and they're not quite ready to go to bed, what's that on the end of a Thanksgiving day? What's the suggestion?
Sherry. I drink sherry at most end of big meal days. I drink sherry. Sherry is for after dinner. It's a little drier. It's also a good digestif without being, an Amaro, which is extremely bitter. It's really pleasant and just helps settle the stomach and helps settle the digestion. So I'm a big, big fan of sherry, specifically the Amontillado Oloroso variants of sherry, because you're going to get dried fruit and honey and some nutty qualities out of it, you know, that are just really pleasant after all of those flavors you've had all day. And that's also something if you want simple to do with your pies and stuff. Like Oloroso sherry with sweet potato pie and pecan pie is also incredibly delicious.
As always, man, it's a lot of fun. I really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Of course. Always a pleasure to be on.
My thanks to both Greg Jones and Jonathan Howard today on The Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Have a great one. Enjoy your Black Friday, whether you're out shopping or whether you're enjoying the fact that everyone else is out shopping and you're not. Either way, all good. And enjoy your week. Safe travels. We'll be back next week with another edition of The Beer Garden. We'll talk championship week in college football. We'll talk some NBA as the NBA getting close to that quarter pole, getting interesting already in the association. We'll talk about that. Might talk some baseball free agency. The winter meeting's not that far away. Where does Bryce Harper go? Where does Manny Machado go? What happens to Patrick Corbin? So we'll talk about a number of those things over the next couple of weeks on The Beer Garden, presented by Oxford Crystal. Until then, take care.